Daniel's month-long podcasting 2.0 app experiment is over, and Dave is back from Podcast Movement Evolutions.
This is the future of podcasting, where we ponder what awaits the podcasters of today. From the School of Podcasting, here's Dave Jackson, and from the Audacity to Podcast, here's Daniel J. Lewis.
Episode 40, we're officially almost middle-aged. Here to talk about your fun experiment playing with podcasting 2.0 apps. And I'm back from Podcast Movement Evolutions. I have some interesting insights to share about that. But have you had withdrawal from your original app from Overcast? How's it going?
So I did this experiment for the month of March, and that's what I had committed myself to do, is force myself to use a podcasting 2.0 app. And I checked out the features, played with a few of them before settling on one, and then using that one app for the entirety of the month. Now, just to try to catch up with some of the backlog of certain categories of podcasts, I did still fall back to Overcast for those, just because I didn't want to go try and figure out, okay, which episodes have I listened to and not listened to. But all the new episodes and the latest episodes from the beginning of March through March, I listened to them exclusively through Cast-O-Matic was the app that I chose. And the first thing is kind of why Cast-O-Matic. So for me, I have a particular way that I want to listen to episodes and that I want a podcast app to work. And a really important thing to me, and same thing to you, Dave, is the smart playlist ability, or it's called many different things, but the ability basically to categorize a podcast and multiple podcasts and then go to that category or playlist or queue or whatever you want to call it, and it will automatically always have episodes from those podcasts that you've added to it. So for example, I have a fun category, and that's where I put all my audio drama and comedy podcasts go into that. So if I want to listen to fun podcasts, I just jump to the fun podcast category or playlist in my app. I have a podcasting category that has podcasts about podcasting in my podcast app. So that kind of thing. And of the podcasting 2.0 apps, the only downloadable app for iOS that supports smart playlists right now is Cast-O-Matic. I know Podcast Guru is really close to launching theirs, and I told them I will give yours a legitimate try when you have it available. But that, for me, that was a deal breaker. So that's one of the reasons that regardless of whatever other apps are out there, I needed smart playlists in order to enjoy the experience. And that's the big thing I was going for, is trying to enjoy the experience. So I settled on Cast-O-Matic, and it is a very good app. Coming from Overcast, there are a lot of definite differences. So I wouldn't say it's a complete copy of Overcast. I think it's different enough. There are certain just conventions that are repeated across all of the podcast apps, and many of them are shared. But it's different enough. But it's also similar enough that it wasn't so jarring to switch. But where I found frustration in the experience was in the little details along the way. And some of the little details that really bothered me and had me looking forward to April so I could switch back to Overcast.
All right.
And this is not like a dig against Francesco or right, against any of the other podcasting 2.0 apps. But what it really felt like is, and I know this is somewhat of an easily solvable problem, and I'm part of the problem when I say this, so I know that going into what I'm about to say. But it really felt like the app had not been used enough to discover what needs to be fixed and certain little bugs and issues, or it hasn't been used enough by power listeners like you and me, Dave, and many of our audience are probably power listeners as well. There were certain things like, for example, don't hate me, Adam Curry, or no, let me put this differently. Adam, please put a number to how much you hate me for saying this and send that to us in a Boostagram, because I am a pod speeder. I listen to podcasts faster than 1x. And with smart speed, some kind of silent skipping feature enabled right, for certain podcasts, not for comedy. I do not skip silences for comedy. Yes, I do listen to some comedy a little bit faster than 1x, but not all that faster. And you might say, oh, but the timing in comedy is so important. Yeah, I still get the timing. It's just proportionally shorter.
Yeah.
So I still get it. It's still, I still enjoy it. I thoroughly enjoy it. And I enjoy podcasts more when I can consume many of the podcasts I want to consume. Some other podcast, informational podcasts, I listen to at much faster speeds. I'm used to some of them being at 2.5x with the smart speed enabled. And my brain doesn't explode. I don't find myself getting irritated at other people. But first of all, Castomatic didn't support anything faster than 2x. Now, in the beta version, though, he did launch a 2.5x feature. Wow. And that was as a result of providing that feedback saying, I'd love to see a 2.5x. He added it. So that was great. Really responsive development there. That's great. But the audio engine that Castomatic uses is different from Overcast. And I don't quite know how the whole programming thing with audio engines work on iOS. But I know that when I listen to a podcast in Overcast using the voice boost feature, which kind of levels the audio, and the silence skipping feature called Smart Speed, and then also the normal 2.5x or 2x or 1.5, depending on what I'm listening to. When I listen to that, there are no artifacts at all. Like, there's no clipping, there's no distortion, there aren't any weird issues of any audio problems or playback problems. It just works in Overcast. Not quite the case with Castomatic. And it was a per podcast kind of thing. Like, some podcasts I would listen to at 2.5x with the silence skipping feature enabled, they would sound fine to me, no problems at all. Others, I would hear clipping, kind of like when you make a kind of bad edit in audio and you get there's a technical thing that's happening with the waveforms aren't quite matching up properly. They're not flowing up and down. It's just like a sudden jarring movement that ends up sounding like a clip or a click inside of the audio. And I would hear that, and that gets really irritating when you hear it every couple of seconds or more often than that. And that was frustrating. And that was probably the most frustrating thing for me, because I would rather switch back to a different app and be able to listen at my speed comfortably than have to endure that clicking noise inside a 2.0 app.
Hmm. Interesting. Anything else?
Yeah. The other weird thing, along probably because of the smart speed stuff, is that sometimes it would skip audio for some reason, like either at the beginning, and this is without any of the kind of like intro and outro skipping enabled or anything like that, but something to do with either the streaming way that it works, and even just the whole downloading and streaming thing, that the way that it works inside of the app was a little bit frustrating to me. I could kind of work around that, but sometimes I would miss as much as a minute of audio for some reason, and I don't quite know why, but it was really weird. And there would be sometimes where the app would crash near the end of an episode. And it's not the app crashing that frustrated me. It's what happened after the crash, is that episode would then jump back to the beginning as if I'd never played it.
Dick.
And then, or it would just delete the episode completely. So I'd miss the last few minutes of an episode, or I'd have to find where I left off. Certain things like that, like this kind of stuff, these are bugs. These can be fixed. And these are the kinds of things that can be found when power listeners use the app and report these issues, document them, try and repeat them as much as possible, which I've been trying to do. I sent Francisco, the developer of Castomatic, I sent a long list of items that I found, things that could be improved, certain things I liked as well, certain things that were frustrations. And I recognize there are some aspects where maybe I'm just not the ideal person. Right. But I do kind of feel like Castomatic is trying to go after the power listeners like us. There were things I loved about it. Like, I loved having the Boostagram button right there in the app. I loved how it showed me what the dollar value would be if I sent a Boostagram of a certain amount.
And how much you were streaming. That's the other thing I love. Yeah.
Yeah, being able to customize that per podcast, being able to send a message. And it made me want to send Boostagrams because I had that feature there, and I knew that some of the podcasts would then give a shout out if I sent certain Boostagrams and such. that was exciting. And also seeing the cloud chapters experience with podcasting 2.0 chapters is nice. Now, reminder that chapters are not a 2.0 exclusive thing, but there are a couple podcasts I listen to that do not do legacy MP3 chapters, only podcasting 2.0 chapters, and only time delayed after they published the episode. And I found that frustrating because I wanted to see the chapters, but I couldn't when I was a very loyal, eager to listen fan who wanted to listen to the episode as soon as it came out. Yep. And then no chapters. So I would have to wait a day or two to listen to the episodes so that I could see the chapters there. And that just, that hurt me. That hurt me right here. It just, because it ruined my day. I know I could have listened without the chapters, but I wanted the chapters because I was an app that supported them. So I had to wait. And then my routine of, I listened to this podcast on this day, that was kind of broken there. These are issues that can be fixed. And going back to what I said, I know by my jumping ship and switching back to Overcast, I know I am being part of the problem here, but I've documented some of these things and I'm sending more notes, making more notes to send as well to report some of these issues that I found so that these kinds of things can be improved and maybe could win me back. At the same time, it also has me more enthused to go back to Overcast and talk to Marco, who creates Overcast, and try and push him to support some of these 2.0 features, like the chapters or transcripts, or I know he doesn't want to do boostergrams, but some of these other things that some of the other apps do, it would be nice to see Overcast bring in. So I kind of want to do both. I want to help the 2.0 apps get better. I want to help Overcast get better. And it makes me wonder, I know I've been doing a lot of talking right now.
No,
monologuing,
good.
Basically. It makes me wonder, Dave, who are some of these apps for? And maybe this is the call to those apps to really define who are you trying to reach with your app. Who do you want using your app? Do you want the power listeners using your app? If so, these are features that power listeners need. If you want to be the super easy app that grandma can get and still be able to benefit from some of the podcasting 2.0 features, then target that and develop for that. I think we really need to look at these silos or these verticals or whatever marketing phrase you want to insert here, but to know that this is the app for this kind of audience. This is the app for that kind of audience. And if the app developers could decide that for themselves with their apps and then focus their development in that direction, I think they can make their apps so much better instead of trying to be the one app that serves everybody and then has all of these frustrations because the simple people are like, I mean, the people who like simple players are like, oh, it's too complicated. But then the power listener is like, it's too simple.
Right.
You can't satisfy everyone, but yeah. You can focus on a niche.
Yeah, that's it. Because I see a lot of Fountain that I think is made for more for the podcaster than the listener. There's a lot. I need to go back to Fountain, but I just remember like there's a lot going on in Fountain. But yeah. It really is. And that's, you know, if you think about it, that's a lot like a podcast. You have to figure out who's your target audience and what do they want and then give it to them. So, yeah.
So here's what I'm going to do going forward is I've switched happily back to Overcast again. And it's kind of like, oh, dear friend, I've missed you. But the podcasting 2.0 features are really fun. So here's what I'm going to do, not as so much a 1 month challenge, but for those podcasts that have the podcasting 2.0 features that I want to enjoy, I'm going to try different apps now that I'm not looking at moving my entire listening to one other app. I will play with some different apps. Like I'll try Podverse and Podurama, well, some of these other apps and such to see how do these do with this one test podcast that I might listen to in that app so that I can get that experience, even though that app might not have the smart playlists or might not have this feature or that feature. But what it does have, maybe I can test that and discover this is a great app for grandma and it supports these features. It's not a power listener app, but it's still a really good one. I want to find those.
Yeah, I have a problem where one of the Libsyn customers is Michael Savage, and he has a premium podcast, and we pointed people at Google Podcast for years because you just went to the website, copy paste the feed. And so now to tell them to go to, because both Podcast Guru and I forget the other one, Podurama, I needed an app that would allow you to listen to a private feed. And that's not every app. And I wanted it to be web-based, and both those have a web-based version, which is nice, and they both allow you to do that. But even saying, install an app, because his audience is a little on the aged side, so they're, a lot of AOL addresses in Yahoo, and, they're all in their 70s and 80s, so it needed to be really, like you said, it has to be grandma-proof. So that was two I was sending people to. But if Podcast Guru can get smart playlists, that's probably going to be my one of choice. I like Podurama's interface. It's beautiful, but Podcast Guru has iOS and Android and a web-based version, and it has the smart playlist. When it gets here, it has the ability to upload files. If you want to listen to your show before you publish it, you can upload it and then have it download in the app. So it's a great feature set. That was the one thing they were missing, was smart playlists. So, and they said they were working on it. So I'm like, all right, As soon as I see smart playlists have been added, I'll be jumping over to give it a shot.
If you were going to force yourself to listen to an app or prioritizing an app and looking at only Podcasting 2.0 features, what are the, as a listener, what are the important 2.0 features to you?
I like chapters a lot. I even though they're not really using a whole bunch, I really like the idea of Podroll and making charts and stuff based on that. I like that idea. Transcripts are great.
Well, I'm saying for you as the listener. Do you use transcripts?
No. As a listener, I use chapters. That's the one I'm loading up. I'm like you. When I don't see chapters, I'm like, ugh. Because there's always some sort of chit-chat or something I want to break.
Yeah, chapters are the big thing for me, and I think probably for both of us, the streaming Satoshis and Boostergrams, although I'm in a place right now where I just can't, just it's a cash flow issue right now, but I want to so badly to be able to support all the podcasts that I listen to and stream Satoshis to them whenever I'm listening to them. I would love to do that. It's just a cash flow issue right now. So yeah, for me, the chapters and the Boostergrams and streaming Satoshis, those are the most important features to me. And someday, maybe soon, cross-app comments, I think, will be very, very important for me, because I would love to be able to comment on episodes more often within the podcast app. And there's been some renewed interest, part of the discussion that we had with Sam in the last episode, and also some of the stuff that's been going on, other discussions he's had, like he interviewed a guy that wrote the book about ActivityPub and Activity Streams, or the book is still coming out later this year, and some renewed interest in the Podcasting 2.0 community. Even Adam Curry started in an episode, he was like, oh, I think this is a waste of time, or we're approaching this wrong. And then by the end of the episode, he's like, this actually kind of sounds like a good idea. And I've turned around on this as well. So I see it catching momentum. So I really feel like we're going to have something that works, that meets all the needs this year, 2024. I think we will have that. So when that feature is available, I want that in a Podcasting 2.0 app. But the most important features for me right now would be the chapters. That's it. That's the most important thing for me right now, as a 2.0 exclusive feature, and then comments when they're available, and Boostergrams and streaming when I'm available for that.
Yeah, the thing, because I asked my audience, I like, what comes to your brain when you hear somebody say Podcasting 2.0? And it was, wow, it's super technical.
Yeah.
I have to switch to a different app. And that was seemed to be a big hurdle. So I might have to make a YouTube video on how easy it is to export your feeds to an OPML and then import it. It's really not that big a deal. But the Satoshi thing is that's a bit of a barrier where people are like, yeah, my audience isn't ready for that. And I'm like, put it out there anyway, because there are people that are streaming Satoshis, you know, you never know. And I explained how I'd had, you know, Sam is now back on top as the top contributor after his big baller boost. But if somebody gives you a 5150, which is a Van Halen album, it's like $3. And I was like, a dynamic ad is going to be somewhere around 0.003, maybe up to 0.005, but that's hundreds and hundreds of downloads to get one boost. And I was like, so if you could get your audience, it's one of those things where I'm like, sure, that's, you know, nobody's going to retire on this now, but what's going to be happening in 5 years, if you could get 3% of your audience to send you $3 just to say, attaboy, that would be awesome. But
yeah, like I recently, as a test for the Audacity to Podcast, I've been now doing Community Corner in my episodes. And I think everyone who streams Satoshis or sent boostergrams, regardless of the amount, I might not always read the message, but I want to still thank everyone who's sent them and give them a shout out by their name. And that's been fun to do, that have that little community corner and engage in that way. And in one of my recent episodes, I mentioned then the approximate value of those Satoshis in dollars. And I forget now what it was. It was something like, I think, $1.60. And doing super simple math, right, that comes out to a very low CPM of maybe a tenth of what a sponsor would give me for the episode. But that was only from three people. And that is a very tiny percentage of my audience. And my podcast isn't super popular, but it is a tiny percentage of my audience. And only three people gave me about one tenth of what I could get from a sponsor. That's pretty good. So in my mind, I'm thinking, you know, if I could get 10 more people, only 10 more people, I'm still way below the 5% number that some people throw around, or 3% number. And then the income could be much higher compared to a traditional CPM from host-endorsed ad, certainly much better than a dynamically, programmatically inserted ad.
Yeah, I was in, you know, Podcast Movement last week, and now part of this, I think, is due to me standing in a Libsyn booth, and we own what was Advertised Cast that's been rebranded to Libsyn Ads. So I think the fact that I was standing in a booth that's like, come talk to us about ads, that might have had something to do with everybody just talking about ads. But even when I wasn't in the Libsyn booth, it still seems like everybody's like, I'm going to start a podcast, I'm going to have to figure out how to grow it, and then I'm going to get ads. And I kind of get that, because the big shows do that. But I always go, yeah, that's less than 10% of people. And then the other thing that everybody was just giddy about was YouTube. Brian Connington, who is the video guy at Libsyn, did a session about, you know, best practices for YouTube. And he kind of pointed out that when you go to YouTube, like if somebody, you hear something on the news, you know, oh, well, there was this kid that drove his bike off a roof and went into a pool. You're like, you're instantly going to go to YouTube, because you're like, I mean, I want to watch that.
Right.
You don't jump to Spotify for that. And he said, but because of that, people are looking for video, like actual video, not static. I think he called them static videos. And he's like, so he goes, static videos, like kind of like what we say, they're better than absolute nothing, but, you know, and yes, it helps you get discovered. I did
some barely.
Barely.
That's my thing.
Well, that's,
it's like, hey, I'm in the phone book, I'm going to get discovered now.
That's it. So there was a lot of talk about YouTube. There was one, I haven't rolled .ai because, you know, AI, but it was really cool. You made videos with your phone, and it somehow magically, like, you have those kind of panning rolls where you have your camera on a little track and it goes sliding by and it's super smooth. Well, it would do that even though your camera was stationary. And so from what I saw, I was like, okay, I'm going to have to play with that. And then there was holler.baby, where you sign up and you can sell shout outs on your show for whatever price you want. And the only thing I asked him, I go, why not just use PayPal? And he said, because if somebody gives you a shout out and you're like, oh, wait, this is somebody I don't like and I don't want to give them any publicity, there's like a button that you just click on and it sends everybody gets their money back and it's super easy to reject. And I guess you could do that in PayPal, but it's a little more, you've already accepted their money. Now you have to basically refund it. So this somehow has that built in. Other than that, there were a lot of, for me, anytime I hear somebody say, we're going to use ads to get your show in front of other people where we show them our player, in my book, that's a red flag. I know the story's now come out from Ashley
Carmen
about Mopod apparently having a super secret probation kind of service that 9 out of the top 50 podcasts are using, that apparently, allegedly, maybe not the most white hat strategy to boost your numbers. My question is, I'm assuming if they're in the top 50, they probably have advertising. And I was like, that's, to me, I want to know what those shows are, because for those that watched Game of Thrones, we need to have them walk down the street and all scream shame at them. Because it's
well, I heard that one of them is Call Her Daddy. And there were some others. I think it was in either Buzzcast or Pod News that they mentioned the names of some of the shows that were caught doing this. And it's a weird thing. I mean, there's that whole thing about, hey, no, they're IAB certified downloads when we do this kind of thing. And some people saying that's gaming the system, other people not. You know, you could go to Starbucks and you could pay people $1 to download an episode of your podcast. It's essentially the same thing.
Right.
It's not cheating in the sense like, hi, sir, do you want your podcast has number one in iTunes, you know, from LinkedIn and right. Facebook? It's not that kind of cheating. That's completely illegitimate stuff.
Right.
This is where people are being incentivized to take action on something they will probably never follow through with.
Right.
And that's where I don't think I'm not going to outright say it's wrong.
Right.
I think it's just a waste of a good call to action, a good opportunity. And it's just not the best thing to do to try and, it's just, there are issues. We could do a whole separate episode about that sometime, but
there was another company doing that. There was, you ready for this, Daniel? This was earth shaking. There was a company that you could upload a video to it and it would chop it into bits.
No.
I was like, wow, I've never heard of that idea. I forget the name of the show, but there was a big show done in that new Dolby. I can never remember what that Dolby Atmos. And I listened to their 4-minute trailer and it was very impressive in terms of sound design. I just personally didn't want to listen to the podcast. You didn't see me going, when is this coming out? I have to hear episode one. I was just like, yep, that was some good sound design right there. And it's got John Goodman in a really wacky English accent. So that was kind of fun.
Well, you know, on that aspect, and we should do an episode about that. Actually, we've talked with someone about possibly being a guest to talk about some of the future of special audio like that. But I could see something like that being really fun for audio drama, because my love for audio started because of Christian audio drama. I was a kid listening to Adventures in Odyssey and Salty the Singing Songbook. I loved those things. I fell asleep listening to those things. I mentioned one of them in my Hall of Fame speech. And now with the ability, like I have Apple AirPods Pro 2, and those have spatial audio. So to combine that with a well-produced audio drama where you can hear that something is in front of you or behind you, and then when you turn your head, you're actually then listening to it as if you actually turned to face whatever that sound is. That's what the Atmos technology can do. Some really cool stuff, pairing that with a good set of spatial aware headphones like that. That can be really cool for the right podcasts. For most of the podcasts out there, no. But that's when I think you start looking at podcasts as a way to distribute stories in the same way that Marvel uses the cinema. That level of production, that would be awesome in podcasts. And if there was the right podcast, I think I would absolutely love it.
And then the question we have to figure out for all these people doing dynamic content, does that mess up the Dolby? Because it's used to just stitching things in stereo, I'm assuming. So that might be something the technology is going to have. I don't know how, you know, what the difference is or, you know, but I just wonder, you get all these things automatically stitching things back together. Are we going to lose the Atmos as we go from, you know, the original version to the new dynamic version? That's going to be a question.
Even in most Hollywood productions, the vocal track of the primary characters are almost always centered. That way they're very easy to hear. They'll, yes, occasionally have them coming from one of the angles, but most of the time it's always centered. So I could see ads being centered, but advertisers, just don't listen to this for a moment. But Dave, imagine though, with the power of Dolby Atmos, we could play four ads at the same time. So you could have one ad in front of you to the left, one ad in front of you to the right, and two ads behind you. That way we could get quadruple the CPM. This would be awesome. The future of podcasting.
That's it. Exactly. But all in all, I mean, it was funny because I talked to some people. I was like, hey, did you learn anything, you know, from the sessions? And not that the sessions were bad, but especially people that have been podcasting for, you know, 5 years or more, they're just, and they all said the same thing. I'm having some great contacts and meeting people. And that's always one of the benefits of going to those events. So all in all, it was a good time. I was just, for me, it's always fun standing in front of a giant banner that says Libsyn and having people come up and go, so tell me about Libsyn. And I'm like, yeah, it's or Libsync or all the other ones, but it was a good time. So speaking of good times, do we have any boostograms?
We do. And if you want to have a good time, send us a boostogram or stream us some Satoshis. So a special thanks this week to Dwev. That's the way I'm going to pronounce it until I'm told otherwise. Who said about our episode about activity streams and activity pub, really informative session. And I appreciate the technical depth. I'm glad you appreciated it.
Yes. And just for the record, Sam kept apologizing at PodFest or Podcast Movement. He was like, I'm like, no, I'm pretty sure all the nerds had a great old time. So it was great having him on. So
yeah, and it came with a warning too that we would go there. And we got two boostograms from Brian Insminger, who said in one of them, thanks for the shout out. And in the other one, he said, is there or could there be the ability to merge an activity stream from one source, like TrueFans, with another source, i.e. an existing Mastodon profile on mast.to or other? And I would love to see this. And this is one of the things that in this whole activity streams and activity pub conversation happening around potentials with what we could do with it, I keep wanting to look at certain practical things. And this is one of those practical things, data portability. Just like you can take your RSS feed, your media hosting, you can take that wherever you want. You can migrate from one place to another whenever you want. I think we need that same ability with activity stream data so that your cross-app comments, you can take those with you and it be in a centralized way that you can take with you. While the consumption is decentralized, the actual authority is centralized, and that's something you can take with you. And I'd love to see that merging ability. And I think it would be possible. It's just a matter of the import-export systems that these apps and services can use. Like just right now, many apps let you export a CSV, which is a table, basically a spreadsheet. You can export CSV data from the app, import it to another app, and it merges those things together. So I could see that definitely happening, and I'm looking forward to that kind of ability in the future.
Yeah, and Sam, I know I mentioned this earlier. He was curious. Yes, you're definitely on top. And then Brian, we just mentioned Brian is number two on the chart, followed by Dave Jones, then some guy named Adam Curry. And then isn't Brian also top-tier audio? So he's yes. Number two and number five. So he's like the Beatles or Beyonce. He's taking up multiple chart positions there. So, all right. For listening. If you like the show, tell a friend. If you have a favorite, that's going to do it for this issue of the Future of Podcasting.
Keep boosting and keep podcasting.